Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and I'm going to be talking about a very important matter here, the War Measures Act and of 1970. And before we begin, I want to make sure I remind our listeners that we can be found on Facebook, facebook.com/ the Taylor Report, and we're also on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/ Taylor-Report. Our guest is Robin Philpott. He is an author and publisher, and he has out from Baraka Books a very important title, Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures, 1970. And Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me, Phil.
I suppose you've noticed that our national newspaper, the Globe and Mail, has, I think they're trying to boost your sales. They have made in their opinion section for the weekend, have published three articles. And the lead one says, Elusive Truth, the October Crisis, Competing Narratives. Nearly 50 years after the War Measures Act was invoked, historians remain divided on Pierre Trudeau's response to the FLQ. I think you agree with him that we need to revisit what happened 50 years ago, and your book definitely does it. Again, it's Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures 1970. Published by Baraka Books. The tenor of the Globe and Mail is that, yes, it was shocking and many people clucked their tongues, but at the end of the day, Trudeau didn't do any great harm and it was probably the right thing. If that's my reading of the three separate pieces published by the Globe. How do you react to that?
Well, I personally would. It's an insulting position to take. I just ask your listeners in Toronto or in Vancouver or wherever, somewhere else in Canada, if in the middle of the night, the government decided to send the army in, arrested people like Margaret Atwood. Broke into 30,000 homes searching for information and were flying their planes low over the homes in Toronto and elsewhere. Would they treat it in such a trivial manner? Obviously not. And so we're 50 years on. The extent to which you know, it's what Eric Kearns, who was in Trudeau's cabinet, said, this massive injustice. The NDP leader, Tommy Douglas, said this was overkill in a gargantuan scale as he opposed the War Measures Act. He was in the parliament as leading the NDP. So there were a lot of contemporaries who were very opposed to it, but their voices have been buried and they buried and also replaced by voices such as you read in the Globe this weekend.
Well, I one of the questions people might ask is where does this War Measures Act come from? Who declared war on who?
Yeah,
create a situation where civilians are the target.
Yeah, well, you know, the War Measures Act came from 1914, which was the beginning of the First World War. It was used in Quebec in April 1918, because there were people who were opposed to conscription at the time, and they sent the English troops from across Canada to Quebec City and 4 people were killed. So the experience of the War Measures Act has a history in Quebec. It was applied again in 1940, and Quebec was one of the targets. They arrested the mayor of Montreal, Canada's largest city, a man by the name of Camille Yaoud, and he spent 4 years in prison.
The mayor,
and he was also an MP, by the way, Camille Yaoud, and he was arrested. They picked him up on the 9th of August, 1940, and he spent 4 years in Petawawa. So it has this history. People at the time in 1970s, this is the Get Quebec Act. Trudeau knew it very well, by the way, because his father was a very good friend of the mayor of Montreal, who was locked up.
Now we have 3 Trudeaus. We have Pierre Trudeau, the father of Justin, and we have grandfather Trudeau.
Yeah. So, but see, Pierre Trudeau knew the law. In 1948, he wrote an article, which is reproduced, by the way, in the book you mentioned, Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour. He wrote a very searing attack on the War Measures Act. It said it's the worst thing a government can do. He wrote that in defense of, be prepared, Adrien Arcan, who was Canada, the head of the Canadian Nazi Party. This is, Trudeau wrote this. So the War Measures Act was in his mind. He knew what it was about. And from the late 50s, and people who studied his writings and thoughts have seen that he's talked about it a lot. And he particularly liked the idea of doing it in the middle of the night, which is what he did. So it's a War Measures Act. He created this idea of an apprehended insurrection, because in the law it says you have to have an insurrection, a real or apprehended insurrection. So he created this story, which had nothing to do with reality. And his ministers came out making these monstrous statements about 3,000 members of the FLQ in Montreal ready to blow up the downtown area. Just completely false.
Now, where is that story from? Who cited
it? Jean Marchand. If people of our generation will remember who he was. He was a very close collaborator of Pierre Trudeau. So, the war, where did it come from? You know, and these are things that are, you'll find in this book, but I'll explain them. One of the men who wrote a text, a book, his name is Dan Loomis. He headed the army in the west part of Quebec. And in the text, he says, Canadian Army was more prepared for this showdown with Quebec than it was in 1914 and 1939. Mm-hmm. So this is a war against civilians. Yeah. And they were more prepared. So it was not something, it cannot be perceived as something that's trivial when the government takes these measures, locks up 500 people, who 99% of them, 95% of them probably, had no links with the FLQ whatsoever.
Yeah.
They were singers, poets, yeah, trade unionists, political members of the political party, the PQ, which is was a legitimate democratic party. Whole riding associations were arrested, and others had their homes searched. Entered and searched. So it was a massive war against a political idea. That's what you might say. The war measures had very little to do with policing questions and all with political opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to put it against the historical background, the political issues of the nation of Quebec and its long, uncomfortable relationship with Anglo-American, but primarily Anglo-domination. Trudeau, in some ways, seemed to be trying to stop a historical tide. When you think about it, that he was particularly angry with people in his own party. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Claude Ryan, was it not? Editor and a political figure, though he never put himself, rarely put himself forward, a rather quiet individual. And then, of course, there was the fact that René Lévesque had once been a liberal, mm-hmm. He'd been part of the so-called quiet revolution. I never hear that referred to much anymore. Yeah. The scary part for Trudeau seemed to be the quiet revolution.
Right. Well, yes. One of the things, and there's a person whose text we cite, he's a political scientist at Hamilton, McMaster University, man by the name of Michael Gauvreau. And he, about 9 years ago, he studied all the documents from the Prime Minister's office between 68 and 1970. And he identified their goals, because he says nobody's been studying, everybody wants to study what happened to Laporte, but nobody's studying what happened, what was going on in the government leadership. And he said what they were aimed at was developing a psychological war against Quebec and Quebec intellectuals, and some in English Canada, by the way, who perceived Quebec as a colony that had to be liberated and was in solidarity with liberation movements all over the world. And they wanted to break that. They wanted to break that by eliminating intermediary organizations, trade unions, citizens' committees, and he doesn't say it, but I would add this, and the Quebec government, all the intermediaries, and then develop what he calls a very conservative idea of liberalism, in which the citizen only has a link with the government, you know, through charters and that kind of thing. And their goal was to break this idea that Quebec was a colony and linked with other liberation movements in the world. This idea is shared among intellectuals, historians of different sorts, in the media, in the trade unions, a very common idea, and that had to be broken. And he also said there are quite a few intellectuals in English Canada at the time who agreed with that analysis of Quebec, and that had to be broken. So you can see that this is something that they were preparing over for a long time.
Yeah, this is they were looking to criminalize a political opposition.
A political opposition and a political idea.
A political idea. Yeah, we should, I noticed that, and again, we're speaking to Robin Philpott, Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures, 1970, that's published by Baraka Books, and just freshly available. The context of the time is part of what Trudeau was facing, is there actually were widespread popular movements to reform society. They definitely were enriching one another. Mm-hmm. There had been the Algerian struggle. I know you've pointed out several times over that René Lévesque was, as a broadcaster, was quite interested in the Algerians. Well, mm-hmm. One could see how Pierre Trudeau would find that a scary thought. I'm not aware of his being very enthusiastic about the Algerians now that I think of it. I want to bring in a strange one that I noticed that is referred to in the book and also in the Globe and Mail. For some curious reason, a couple of three of the power brokers in Trudeau's circles referred to Kent State in the United States, where students had been shot by National Guardsmen mm-hmm. at a anti-war protest. Mm-hmm. And somehow this had some big resonance in the Trudeau circles. were they simply trying to exploit something sensational? Because there's no analogy at all, is there?
I don't think there's any analogy. Trudeau tried to come across as a progressive and a progressive internationally in order to be able to carry out what he was doing against Quebec. I sometimes think his links with Cuba stemmed somewhat from that. There is this famous picture of Castro in Montreal with Levesque. Now, Levesque was only a journalist. This was way back in the early 60s. I think it was 61, 62. I sometimes think that because everything that the Trudeau government did, Quebec was the number one factor. This is Mitchell Sharp who says that. Everything we did was related to Quebec. So they often tried to come across as a progressive, and also different from Nixon, you know? So there's no, I mean, there is no analogy. And if you want to read an interesting text, it's one by the historian Jack Granitstein, a military historian who was a young prof. I'm not sure whether he agrees with it now, but he agreed to let us publish his text. And he was a young teacher, professor at York, and he went to an event called the Rally for Canada. And he said there were 5,000 people there. And he was speaking up against the War Measures Act. And he says he was never so scared in his life because they all wanted war. In other words, and people forget, the Premier of Ontario, John Robarts, was calling for all-out war at the time.
Is that the expression he used? So what did
he use? This is Eric Kieran's quoting him, because he wanted it was all out war against the terrorists. We're not making up that expression. So you have a situation where you have a population which may have been against the Vietnam War, but there was no way they were going to try and apply any analysis like that to Quebec. Quebec had to be put down. And that was the event. So the link with Kent State is, there is none, really. Yeah. You know, Nixon once said, you know, he said, when Trudeau sent the army in, he said, watch all these liberal bastards, they'll let that guy off.
I'm sorry.
The liberal media would let Trudeau off.
Yeah. We're speaking to Robin Philpott. This is the Taylor Report. The book is Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures, 1970. There's something really, you've touched on it by citing the reaction, for example, right here in Toronto and in Ontario and across English Canada, actually. A taste, he brought out an ugly taste for repression and xenophobia against the French, who are regarded as somehow an alien people. And whether they speak of it in benign ways or more hostile, it is a recurring idea that there's something wrong with the population of Quebec. And they ought to change. Mm-hmm. And Trudeau struck at a moment which it did not harm his political career at all, did it?
In fact, I think he had to do that because he had been on the on lists of people where the RCMP was looking out for him, and even the CIA. And so because he went to China. So he was he had to earn his stripes in Canada. This is reported by even he, how Chrétien, one of in his book, I think you remember the book Straight from the Heart, he says there was some kind of guy who used to vote conservative, but then he and Chrétien met him. There was somebody on BC, quite very influential man. And he told Chrétien, well, now we're going to be able to put the frogs in their place. Yeah. And and so he was going to vote for Trudeau. So Kachin didn't take him up. He just, you know, walked away because he wanted that support.
Yeah.
So it was definitely one of his goals was. One of the reasons why he was given that role, and he wanted it, by the way.
Yes. Apropos of Chrétien, I have read his memoirs, and I do I will never forget reading in those memoirs that he said, my fellow Quebecers are always dreaming, they have a great dream of sovereignty. He says, my job is to kill that dream.
Right.
Kill it. He used that expression. Of course, the War Measures is a killing move. However, this didn't play out probably in the way that Trudeau would have liked. We have the famous rivalry and the personalities, René Lévesque mm-hmm. and Pierre Trudeau. Talk about that evolution that happened, because they claim in the Globe, and I guess you should address this question or fact, it's asserted that at the time, everybody said, oh, that's the right thing to do, because we have the FLQ terrorists, and they're out there somewhere, and they throw bombs, and we have something must be done. And so, okay. It's alleged that in the early going, first few days, that it was popular both inside Quebec and, of course, across Canada. But that, if it was popular, it didn't take long for the fog to lift. And for Lévesque and the Parti Québécois to rise. Can you address both? Is that true about its popularity?
Yeah, well, let's. One of the things, and there are many people, and I would share the idea that the War Measures Act resulted from a strong showing of the PQ in April 1970, because they were just saying nobody will vote for them. But the PQ got almost 25% of the popular vote in April, on April 29th, 1970. So it was moving, and it was a very, you would say they had a very strong political program. And it was that we will be elected and we will begin the process to become sovereign. It was also against NATO, against NORAD, and it was this, what I was describing earlier, somewhat revolutionary sovereignty movement. One of the things that happened, and this is, Trudeau takes credit for it in his memoirs, by the way. He says, but he did it before 95, but he said what they did in 1970, including the means used, meaning the War Measures Act, meant that separatism was dead. And what he said was, because in 1974, they changed their program and they went into this business of a stage, different stages. We get elected to be a good government, and then we'll hold a referendum during the first mandate, the first 4 or 5 years. So one of the things that people are looking at now and seeing is that the War Measures Act had a profound effect on the movement. In other words, it became a little more like less convinced of its ability to produce results, and that's what we're sort of looking at now, because the fear campaign was massive, 36,000 searching, you know, they're breaking into people's homes, you know, gunpoint, that kind of thing, 500 people arrested and held incommunicado for quite a long time, military court-martial type trials for the people in the FLQ or people who, like, for instance, Michel Chartrand, that's trade unionist. So, and many people are saying that the movement lost a bit of its fiber, of its back at that time. Lévesque did win the election in 1976, but it did lose a bit of its convictions, in our opinion. And then little by little, the PQ slowly dropped the things about NATO, dropped the thing about NORAD, remained positive towards the Palestinians. Like in 1981, the first time the PLO had ever been invited into a governing party's Congress was by the PQ. And Levesque stood up by that decision. So they kept a very progressive position right up until, I would say, 2000, in the early 2000s. But it lost a bit of its, you might say, of its guts. And that people are attributing that to the War Measures Act.
It's very interesting you should point that out, that they were groundbreaking. And you'd have to say maybe they should go back and break some more ground, because I can't see them doing it now.
No, there you go. But you try and figure out where is the turning point. You had quite a lot of people who became pan-Canadian and, so-called Marxist-Leninists here. There were people who had been in the nationalist movement, and then they became against the nationalist movement. There was sort of like this floating, and right now, people are looking back and saying, now what is it that weakened the movement, that made it leave this ground of seeing itself as in the spirit of the FLN in Algeria, Cuba, the Palestinians, the Tupameros, the other, like people very much identified with Latin America and Cuba. Where was it? And that, people are sort of turning to the War Measures Act as being this, state terror is aimed at that. Because that's what it was. It was state terror against the Quebec masses, the Quebec people.
Yeah. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. We're speaking to Robin Philpott, one of the editors of Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures 1970, freshly published, by the way. I hope people will go to Baraka Books and obtain a copy. The facts are really not straightened out at this point. I think it's under a general conception, or I guess the word is perception, that the FLQ did some bad things, and particularly the death of Mr. Laporte. The death of Laporte caused this. I think that's how it's sort of like folklore, but that's not accurate as to when the war measures were invoked. And
it's very interesting that the question of chronology comes up, of events, when you're talking about a massive a story like this. You know, the 5th of October, I guess we're on the air today, the 5th of October, Cross was kidnapped. Then the government granted the right to, they had the manifesto read on the television, but they refused any other concessions. And so on the 10th of October, Pierre Laporte, who was the second in charge, and he was the vice premier of Quebec, was kidnapped the 10th of October. On the 15th of October, Trudeau's cabinet met, and we have a description of that cabinet meeting in this book by Eric Kierens. If you remember, Eric Kierens was an important minister. He describes how that was played out, that cabinet meeting. And that's when they decided to invoke the War Measures Act. His famous Just Watch Me, Trudeau, that was made on the 13th of October. It was in the middle of the night on the 16th of October at 4 a.m. that the police and the army, 12,500 troops, rolled into Montreal, 7,500 in Montreal, 12,500 over Quebec. 500 people were arrested in the middle of the night, left with families, just and thrown in prison, incommunicado. They were, the troops were given the orders to fly low over towns, and there was all these searching. it was, and Trudeau made it very clear he was not going to make any concessions to the kidnappers. And it was another 36 hours later that Laporte died, was killed. So they
soldiers were in the street before Laporte died.
Yeah, and the war measures came, were down, and it was all, you know, he took over national TV, announced that he was doing this, and the troops were, and they went into parliament and debated it, and so, but it, so he died the next day.
So it now, could be argued, if you were in court about this matter, a lawyer could argue that the, putting the troops in the street exacerbated the situation and put people at risk and greater risk.
Exactly. And that the Trudeau government has a responsibility for Laporte's death. And in fact, the Globe and Mail in 1970, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's editorial, led on that Trudeau, the Trudeau government bore responsibility for his death too, for its inflexibility. And the even René Lévesque said the same thing, that even though he was very much against the FLQ, he said the government with its inflexibility bears a certain responsibility for Laporte's death. But the interesting thing is that there's one of the most important ministers at the time, Mitchell Sharp, who was foreign affairs minister, in his memoirs, he fudges all this fact. He sort of lets on, well, we had to deal with bombs by FLQ and the death of Laporte. If we'd known what we know now, we would never have sent the War Measures Act. Trudeau does the same thing. He fudges it all in his memoirs. So there's this desire to put fog over the whole events, whereas it's very important to know the chronology.
Yes, well, it's absolutely. As I say, you know, the most dangerous thing is when folklore becomes established, and it's most, and it tends to be the story.
And by the way, you might just say the family of Laporte was very angry with Trudeau for not negotiating. They did not want a national funeral, and Trudeau passed above them and held a national funeral. And in the minutes, and this is a friend of mine doing research, in the minutes of the cabinet, they were saying, how can we make this death in our interest? In other words, they really wanted to build around it, and that's their current position as well, for refusing to apologize. You know, it's that was what the first thing that Justin Trudeau said when we have to think about the Laporte family. Well, as his father didn't give a damn about the Laporte family.
The personality of Trudeau is rather it's an intriguing character. So much of what he did was theatrical, and a lot of it seemed to be, he had an impulsive temperament. People who look at him closely would know that he had a tendency to slap people, literally reach out and slap them, particularly if he thought they couldn't hit back. We're speaking to Robin Philpott. The book is Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures, 1970 Baraka Books. And this, of course, is a Daily Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. On the back of the book, there's a great quote from one of our sort of national biographers, Peter C. Newman, and it says, "I was delighted that someone finally had the courage to tell the truth, that Pierre Trudeau and Marc Lalonde both lied to me about why the War Measures Act was imposed." That's Peter C. Newman.
Mr. Establishment himself.
What was his encounter with those two, with Lalonde and Trudeau?
They were having a very difficult time convincing people about the apprehended insurrection. So Lalonde convoked Peter Newman, who was editor-in-chief of the Toronto Star at the time, and said, listen, this is very important, but I will always deny that we ever had this conversation. And then he said, we have information which leads us to believe, leads us to know that there are people going trying to create a provisional government and overthrow the Quebec government, and this has to be stopped. And Newman was dubious about it all. And he said, well, I don't know. And he said, Claude Ryan, I know Ryan very well. He's a man of conscience. You know, and there was, they had people in there, Lévesque and Louis Laberge as well, who were in this thing that was going to be the provisional government. And he was unconvinced, Newman. And Marc Lalonde says, I'll get Pierre to call you. So Pierre Trudeau called them within an hour. And he said, Peter, it is true. There is a conspiracy to overthrow the Quebec government. And and we know all about it. And when Newman tried to question him, he basically hung up on him. He said he didn't have time. And Newman was not going to run the story, but his boss, Hondrich, the father of John Hondrich, he wanted to run it because he was very close to Trudeau. And so they ran it without names. And then about 2 weeks later, Trudeau and Lalonde said, oh, this is just gossip in the newspapers, you know, whereas they were the ones who started the story. And the story is still floating about, you know, you'll see it in the media. And it just created from, Newman says, it's a meticulously concocted lie about that provisional government. So this was like, and one of the reasons that they invoked for the War Measures Act, so.
Newman, it took him years to get that nailed down, right?
Yeah, well, he didn't want to say it. He only told it in 2004. And Trudeau told him, you can't tell anybody about this conversation, you see.
It didn't happen.
Yeah, and so Newman only came out with it when he put it out in his memoirs. And then he was very glad that we published that section of his memoirs, because he waited until Trudeau was dead before bringing it out, yeah. Which is quite something, you know.
By the way, it's a good time to remind people who follow news today that when you see the word sources, reliable sources, remember conversations of that type that are now nailed down, that of an attempt to manipulate a reporter, and that reporter could go with that and it would look really good, you know, because that Peter Newman, who you gotta trust him.
Yeah. And
sources. I have to say, but I confess that the imaginary government that Trudeau thought might be formed sounded pretty attractive to me.
Yeah, exactly.
The labor leader you mentioned, now his name escapes me.
Louis Laberge.
Yeah, it would have been great to have Louis Laberge in a government.
Right.
He said Claude Ryan was supposed to be part of it?
He was, Claude Ryan was supposed to be leading it, which is, you know, Trudeau hated Ryan, although Ryan was a liberal. He was a Quebec liberal, but he had a vision of Quebec that was different. You know, that's the point, is Trudeau and them wanted to eliminate any vision of Quebec that was different from his. That is a centralized unitary state of Canada that wouldn't allow any form of distinctness to Quebec. And,
well, there was an individual that and correct me if I'm wrong, I think he personally despised, Mr. Bourassa.
Yeah, and now
the Globe and Mail yesterday, the Weekend Globe, tells us that, it was Bourassa's idea, and it was the mayor of Montreal. So could you correct the record?
Well, first of all, that's the man who held Robert Bourassa's hand as he wrote the letter was Marc Lalonde, who is quoted in the Globe. Marc Lalonde is 91. He's one of the only ones still alive. And he worked on those people to get them to use the term apprehended insurrection. And then he did the same with Drapeau, who was mayor of Montreal. Now, it's not in Drapeau. A year before, there'd been a famous policeman strike in Montreal. You might remember, it was a major crisis. The police went on strike in Montreal, and Drapeau asked for the army to come in. The army came in for a very short while. The strike was settled, and Drapeau told him, "Now you leave, please." And they said no. And he realized that he didn't have that kind of control over the army, that it came, you know, they didn't. So it's totally illogical that he would insist on the army then. It was mainly because of what Trudeau had. And as I mentioned before, and this is going to, this friend of mine doing all this research on it, Trudeau was talking about the War Measures Act in 1958, immediately after he became prime minister following Pearson's resignation, 68. He had not been elected. He was talking about it. So the War Measures Act was a Trudeau thing, and his circle. There's just no way around that.
And they twisted the arm of Bourassa. Basically, it's the old thing of the president saying to a governor, "You're going to invite me."
Yeah, exactly.
And then I will send the troops. But by the way, isn't that also one of the reasons Levesque gained quickly on Bourassa? Because the people of Quebec would perceive Bourassa as being obedient to Trudeau.
Yes. 70, there were election after that set in 73, and they got more popular vote, but fewer seats in the PQ. So there was a period there where, because following the War Measures Act and the death of Laporte, people sort of like the big movement, it was a big fight for Levesque to disidentify the PQ with the FLQ. The goal of the Trudeau government and their media supporters was to link PQ equals FLQ. In other words, yes. that was the way they were trying to weaken them. And that was a big fight for Levesque to distinguish itself, the PQ, a political party, legitimate political party, not be identified as another form of the FLQ. And they managed to do that, but it took a certain while. But I mean, definitely Bourassa, in the 74, 75, he was called the most hated premier in the history. You know, there was a general strike in Quebec in 72, big, and he locked up Laberge, Charbonneau and Pépin. So in other words, Quebec was still quite a revolutionary place at the time. And Bourassa was very badly looked upon. So Levesque was able to take the position. He was able to win the election. But, you know, as we look back, we say that they had been weakened by the War Measures Act, weakened in their resolve and in their political orientation. Mm-hmm. That I think there's no doubt about that now.
We're speaking to Robin Philpott. He is the editor of this book, one of the editors of Pierre Trudeau, Darkest Hour, War Measures 1970, and also, of course, the publisher of Baraka Books. Talk about this book itself. I see Margaret Atwood, names that I had forgotten what they were saying. What is in this book in your mind that readers ought to be highlighted, ought to hear is available to them?
Well, there's a lot of, you know, every one except for one of the texts in there is by English Canadians from different areas explaining why they were opposed to it. I mean, people like Robert Fulford, you know, the cultural writer, and Margaret Atwood. She came and spoke in a program and she said, if you think Canada's a democracy, then you got to think back to what happened in the War Measures Act. Very, very strong position against it. Tommy Douglas comes out as the star for his principled position. And that's all presented in here very, very well, his statements about the War Measures Act. And we also quote in it, he was very opposed to the War Measures Act in 1940 against the Japanese. And he says, I was booed off the platform because I opposed the War Measures Act and because they were interning all the Japanese and confiscating their property. And these were Japanese Canadians, you know, natural Canadian citizens. And he opposed the War Measures Act in 1970. And, you know, he was dead right in 40 and he was dead right in 1970. And I think that that's something that people, if you're NDP people, should be saying to Jagmeet Singh. We have to stick to the history of our leader, historical leader. Then there's the text by Newman. There's a very, very interesting text by the man, Reg Whitaker, professor at York. He studied the security questions, and he's the one who makes it very clear that he said the RCMP was not consulted about the War Measures Act, and they didn't want the War Measures Act. And if they had been consulted, they would have said, no, they didn't, we shouldn't apply it because it just made it difficult for doing your ordinary police work of trying to find the kidnappers. So these are a very important text in understanding what I would say probably one of the most traumatic events, traumatic and dramatic in modern Canadian history.
That raises an issue that one of the rationales that the Globe and Mail gives to Pierre Trudeau, and it strikes me as laughable. They said, well, he didn't have, you know, he was in the dark here. He didn't really know who these guys were. They didn't know there were only 35 members, active members, FLQ, that kind of thing. Well, actually, Canadian society is blanketed with surveillance and police work.
Yeah.
And Pierre Trudeau had an intelligence system that was quite advanced, as we later discovered. One of René Lévesque's closest personal friends was a direct informant to the prime minister.
Yeah, cabinet minister.
They're pulling our leg when they claim they didn't know anything and therefore they had to bring in the blasted army to solve a problem.
Yeah. And the other thing is they did arrested all kinds of people who they knew personally, who they knew had nothing to do with the FLQ. In other words, people who they had been, who were opposed to them politically, but they'd known each other because, I mean, Quebec is not a huge place and the political people involved in politics and cultural things, they know each other. And they arrested, like artists, singers, writers, and active trade unionists. I mean, and we understand that there was his very close collaborators who vetted the list of people to be arrested. So in other words, they really wanted to scare all these people, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's a very important event. And it's so important, I think, that's why we chose to try and find English-speaking Canadians who wrote thoughtful texts about it. Don Jameson was a member of his cabinet. He was one of the first in the 80s to come out as a cabinet minister and say, we didn't have a good case at all. And he said it was the Quebec ministers who wanted to settle scores with their enemies using Canada to do so, you know. So we're very proud of it. It's an important book because of the depth. There's a guy named John Conway. Newman is an important contribution. Eric Kieran's, his description of the cabinet from his description of a cabinet meeting when they decided is just wonderful to read that. He, by the way, was a very close friend of Lévesque's, even though they disagreed politically. They'd been in a liberal government together. And Lévesque had formed the Sovereignty Party and Kieran's was very much against him, but they were personal friends. And he knew what was going on, it was anti-Quebec.
Yeah, it was actually a democratic exercise.
Yeah.
And you differ.
Exactly.
With Trudeau, it wasn't a democratic exercise. It was who's the boss.
Exactly. So it's become a big subject here in Quebec. And over the last few weeks, there's a very good film came out. In fact, it's done by the son, by Paul Rose's son, Felix Rose, and it's called The Rose Family, a working class family at the heart of the October crisis. And he doesn't try and rehabilitate or do anything about his father, but he just tries to understand why Quebec had this revolutionary violent movement from 1963 through 1970. And it's a wonderful film, and it's also subtitled in English. So I think you can see it on the national, it was done with the National Film Board, believe it or not, on their website. And it's very, very, very instructive to understand why Quebec could see itself as a national liberation, as a nation to be liberated from colonialism. So anyway, it's something that is, it's a film which is being seen the most, was seen the most until we've had this confinement, which started 2 days ago.
Yeah. Well, this is that film, definitely this book is a great entry into understanding Canadian history, Quebec history, and particularly the War Measures Act and the road it took us down. The book is Pierre Trudeau's Darkest Hour, War Measures, 1970. Guest had been Robin Philpott, Baraka Books. Please get the book. Robin, been very enlightening. Thank you very much. Look forward to talking to you.
Thank you for inviting me, and keep up your good work.
Okay, thank you. That's Robin Philpott. And this is CIUT, the Taylor Report, and we'll be back shortly.